time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon. You know, it's kind of good. Last week we were saying, too bad we didn't do this on Tuesday. We could have reported the Guardians' last game, but we couldn't have done that anyway. So
no, it ran out.
Yeah, it ran out, and we'll get into that later. As we have lots of Northeast Ohio stuff to talk about here. The Cavs opened up their season.
That's right.
What, two games in or one game?
Three.
I know that they lost their opener, close game to Toronto.
It was, and you know, the Garland injury really hurt in that game. He got poked in the eye.
Yeah, and then and Mobley was out, wasn't he, for that game?
No.
Was he back for that game? Okay.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I think so. I watched all three, actually, for the most part. There was some excitement about the new season with the Cavs. So
seems to be a lot of excitement about the Cavs, that they fully expect them to not only make the playoffs but win the first round of it is what I'm seeing.
Well, I think they have a great chance with the Donovan Mitchell acquisition. And
he seems to have really – he was expecting, I think, to go to New York, but he's very happy, it seems, to be here in Cleveland.
He is, and he stepped into the leadership role, and it's going to be interesting when Garland comes back how he'll interact with him. But it's an exciting team to watch. It really is, and I've caught myself up a little bit into the, you know, I'm not.
Oh, you're going to lose reading time this winter.
Oh, I could. I just started a new novel, too.
Oh, did you?
Now? Yeah, the new John Grisham novel.
Oh, did you?
Boys,
okay.
Boys of Biloxi.
Boys of Biloxi.
Yeah,
okay.
It's really intriguing.
About a military accountant or something?
No, just the corruption of this town and stuff like that. It's good, fun reading, John Grisham.
It always is.
You know, he's not going to challenge you for War and Peace kind of literature.
Good.
But if you just want something to read and enjoy, I always find him very interesting. So, speaking of interesting, do you want to get into?
Shall we do your review first?
Well, I'm sitting here with bated breath.
We have to get your opening here.
All right.
So here we go.
There's a tavern in the town, and there my true love sits him down, and he drinks his wine as merry as can be, and never thinks of me.
He's getting out a score sheet right now.
That's not bad. Who is that?
He gets into it in a minute here. Hang on.
Okay.
Do, yes, do. I can no longer stay with you, so I shall hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. And may the world go well with thee.
He left me for a damsel dark. Each Friday night they used to spark. And now my love wants true to me.
Wait till you hear who it
takes
is.
That dark damsel on his knee. Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let the parting grieve thee. And remember that the best of friends must part. Adieu, kind friends, adieu.
Yes, adieu.
I can no longer stay with you. I'll hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. And may the world go well with thee.
I think he goes into how you hear, I think.
Oh, dig my grief both wide and deep.
Maybe not. Anyway, that is the one and only Underdog, Wally Cox.
Underdog.
That was Wally Cox.
Wally Cox?
That's Wally Cox.
The late Wally.
The late Wally Cox.
I hope he didn't expire after this singing this song. But I didn't know Underdog did yodeling.
Yeah.
Is that on Apple Music? I can get that?
Probably, I'm sure.
What's the name of it?
There's a Tavern in the Town.
Tavern
in the Town with Wally Cox.
Cox. I have to look that up. Well, thank you for that. Normally, you shun my reports. Now you're embracing it.
Well, why not?
Well, as you know.
Yes.
And as the audience.
Now, by the way, how did you grade Wally?
Oh, he's A.
Okay, good.
That was good stuff. Now, you know, to be an official yodel.
But he's not a professional.
No, but it was good. To be an official yodeling song, there has to be at least 40% yodeling content.
He yodeled, but his background music didn't.
Yeah, but I think constitutes an official yodel. Like John Denver's Calypso barely makes it, but it is a yodel.
Oh, really? Yeah. That makes it in the yodel,
yeah,
okay.
It was actually 40.1% of his song, I Calypso, was the yodel.
Okay.
So that does.
How does Roy Rogers fit in there?
Well, sometimes it's just below that. So it's
a little Leonard Slide. Didn't quite make it.
The 5 o'clock world almost made it as a yodel.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but if they added just a couple more seconds, they would have.
Okay.
Been
well,
yeah.
Something to work for in the future.
Yes. Anyway, you know, I was Nancy and I, but. She went off and did other things.
Yeah, well, shopping. It cost you money.
Yeah. No, it cost her money.
Oh, cost her money.
Yeah. Anyway.
That doesn't work that way.
Spent a day in Provincetown, Massachusetts for the New England Yodeling Festival. And, of course, I was a judge along with Sebastian Pavarotti and Peekaboo Holstein.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to be a good trio that we bring in. All at our own costs, you know.
When are you getting a reality show to this stuff?
What?
When are you getting a reality show?
Oh, I don't want to.
Like America's Got Yodel, you know?
Oh, I would like that, but I don't want to get into that kind of stuff. I'm happy doing this show.
Okay.
Being with you.
Oh, my goodness. That's not what you tell me after every show.
Oh, I understand. Anyway. So we were in Provincetown, Massachusetts, at the Lobster Museum.
At the Lobster Museum?
Yeah, it's a building the shape of a lobster claw, and the auditorium is part of the shell. The acoustics were fantastic.
Okay.
And there was 19 and a half contestants.
19 and a half?
Yeah, well, there's one young lady named Sylvia Van Flossen. She was 5 years old. She wasn't eligible, but she got up and
sung
her.
It's an age-eligible thing, and you're discriminatory towards young people.
Well, in order to get the prize, you have to be over 21.
Oh.
Does it
involve alcohol?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It's a...
Hey, that might make me want to yodel. Now, actually, if I had enough alcohol, I might be able to yodel.
Yeah, so anyway, we had 19 and a half contestants, and the best five, I would love to listen to you yodel. And I would judge you, too.
Oh, yeah, I bet you would.
So at the Lobster Museum in Providence, beautiful location. I mean, oof. And we had lobster rolls. And,
okay.
Yeah, good stuff.
Sounds like it's worth a trip.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, we had 19, like I said, and a half, and we had the five finalists.
Okay.
And their names were Yak Smith.
Yak Smith.
Yeah. Big man. He was 6'7", 475 pounds. Good old Yak. I guess that's his nickname, but that's what he went by. And he's from Montpelier, Vermont. Which is the capital of Vermont.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know Vermont was big enough to have a capital.
Oh, it's small. It's the smallest capital of any capitals in the United States. And it's the only state capital without a McDonald's.
Really not?
Yeah. I didn't know.
How did you survive that? Oh, yeah, the lobster rolls.
The lobster roll. Oh, yeah. Well, maple pumpkin pancakes and stuff like that. Oh,
my.
Now, you don't need McDonald's there. So,
Yeah, but if you live there, you want a McDonald's. You know,
well, it went to,
tourists don't need McDonald's.
You could go down to another city or another town. And I'm sure there's one by there, but you don't see it. And there's another thing. Vermont does not allow billboards on their highways.
Really?
Yeah. So it's pristine. So Yaksmith made the journey from Montpelier to Provincetown. And he, believe it or not, yodeled the Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh,
which was quite
good. That'd be interesting. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Number two was Fiesel Wanton.
Fiesel Wanton,
yes, it's a she.
Oh, it's a she. Yes, yeah, okay.
From Amherst, Massachusetts, which okay. I know quite well. That's where I did my graduate work at.
Okay,
University of Massachusetts. And
this is all just the Northeast.
Corridor? New England. New England.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And she did the yodeling of the Highland Fling. Which is a Scottish song, and it's
wow. That would be interesting.
It was very interesting.
Yodeling, and you still couldn't understand a word she said. Okay.
Yeah. So, and Fiesel, I don't know where she was from, but I mean, she was from Amherst, but I don't know what her origins
her true background.
Yeah, so, anyway, very nice young lady. Number three was good old Zita Alpaca.
Alpaca.
And from Allagash, Maine.
Allagash, Maine.
And you won't believe this, but she yodeled Waltzing Matilda.
Wow. I mean, that's hard enough to say without an Australian accent to begin with.
Oh, wow.
But the yodeling is something else, yeah.
Yeah. Alpaca, I don't know what origins she was from, but very robust woman.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And then there was Audrey Snowcap. She's a Native American.
Okay.
She was from Mount Washington, New Hampshire.
Okay.
Hey, they have the weirdest weather up
there. Right, and there's a big weather station up there.
Yeah. And she did a yodeling version of Edelweiss. You remember Edelweiss?
I can see how you can do that.
It was great. And finally, the fifth finalist was Krusty Pete Bernard.
Krusty Pete.
Krusty Pete Bernard. And from Ashland, Maine.
Okay.
And Mainers.
Where do you get the nickname Krusty from, you know?
I didn't ask.
Oh, you should ask these things. Yeah. You know, you got to go on the air. You got to ask
Okay, he doesn't shower a lot, all right?
Okay. Well, that would make him crusty.
Very crusty. And we didn't know whether it was him or the old lobster that was smelling the place.
Yeah.
So, because they made the Lobster Museum out of old claws and shells. It's an amazing building.
Hopefully it dried it out for
It did stink a little bit.
Okay.
So we didn't know whether it was the building
or
Krusty Pete Bernard. And, again, from Ashland. But he did, in tribute to Oscar Gonzalez, he did yodeling to SpongeBob SquarePants song. And it was quite unique. So.
But now, is that ranking? You said the top five. Is that?
Well, no. No.
They're not ranked.
Five, no, they weren't ranked. They're just giving you the five contestants.
Okay.
The winner. Was Audrey Snowcap with Edelweiss.
Go with the classics so that you don't have to have imagination.
I know.
I can't believe you didn't go with one of the more creative ones.
Well, I know, but Yaksmith kind of was a very intimidating guy, and he was not happy to vote for that guy.
Oh,
yeah, and we had to almost escape the building because Yak was on a tear.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it was a very, very interesting experience. And so they got, the winner got a keg of Munich beer.
A keg of Munich beer.
That's why Sylvia Van Flossen could not win. She wasn't old enough. This is very expensive.
She could win it for her dad or uncle, though. Or you
we
just
didn't
it wasn't
think
against,
of that.
But that's still against the rules of the rules.
No, the
right?
rules are you have to be 21.
Rules are the rules.
Yes. So, So I could have gone on forever about this, but we do have to talk about sports. But and that's it for the year. I'm done judging.
For the year?
Yeah, I mean, I have a...
Because you have another trip coming up here.
I do, but now, in Aruba, there's not going to be any...
Although there has been in the past.
Or has
they had to do it up on a barge or something.
No. Yeah, well, it is an old tanker.
Okay.
And I think we couldn't rent it.
Because,
inflation.
Yeah.
And fuel there is expensive. Whew. So it wasn't in our budget. And I need a break. You know, I did do Fargo.
Yeah, she did.
And
you've done two or three events this year, so
that's enough. I mean, I don't get paid for this.
No.
Yeah, I do.
I think they cover your expenses, you'd think, but no.
No, I had to pay for my own lobster roll.
Yeah.
And had to put up with the smell of the lobster museum and Krusty Pete Bernard. So, but I do want to thank you for the intro. So
there you go.
Very interesting.
There we go.
Woof. So, but I like that. I where did you find that?
I've known that for a long time.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
You've been holding the back on me.
Yeah, I got another one for you for next time you go do a report.
Right. So. Well, we planning to go to next year, Australia.
Oh, Australia, okay.
Oh, I got a big one there.
I didn't know that those Aussies, they already talk with with an accent. I didn't think you could yodel with that.
Big time.
Learn something new every day.
On our tour, there was a lady from Australia.
Okay.
An elderly woman. And she says yodeling is huge in Brisbane.
Brisbane, okay.
Yeah, she says, I may get four or five. We're going to have it in Sydney, in the famous concert hall.
The concert opera house there?
Well, is that expensive? But they may donate it to us because we are on a limited budget. But we'll see. We'll see. Stay tuned.
Okay. Speaking of staying tuned,
where
should we go? Well, should we start off with the catastrophe of the day?
Which one?
Nah, the Guardians wasn't catastrophe. Okay, let's go there first because
I should not. It was a wonderful season.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed I had a feeling if they went back to New York after not winning on Sunday, a week ago Sunday, that winning in New York, that fifth game would have been very
well.
Very
and I think we were more in advance from what I was hearing from commentators. Had they actually been able to play Monday, we would have been in better shape than the Yankees.
Because they did have a starter that they sent out there, and they did a number on us. And unfortunately,
on a day's rest, but they really couldn't have started him on Monday.
On Monday. So,
because it would have been like a three-day rest thing.
Yeah. And there was some debate whether Terry Francona should have used Shane Bieber.
You know what? I listened to the pregame, and he was on there with Hammy, and I tell you what, everything he said made sense.
Oh, how can you doubt a man like that?
I'm sure even national commentators, a man sure to be in the Hall of Fame when he decides to hang it up.
Yeah, and he rather have a healthy Shane Bieber going into next year.
Yeah, if we could have pulled it off, having him start game one.
Yeah, I mean, it was lined up that way, and you know, he had shoulder problems, and he was not that great the first half of the baseball season, but turned it on.
Would he have gone in there? Absolutely. He was begging.
He had to put him in the bullpen because he knew Terry Francona knew he'd be bugging him the whole game.
Yeah.
and so he put him in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And I admire a man like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. And unfortunately, Savali didn't have it. I mean, he
did not make it out of the first inning.
No, and it put him behind the eight ball, and they just scored.
They started off three runs down and couldn't catch up.
And, it's just unfortunate, but nobody can be I didn't mean when we talked about the catastrophe. I should have not.
That does not belong with that team. Yeah.
No, it was a fabulous season. And
here's the thing, no matter who won that, was at a complete disadvantage going into the next series. Because for one thing, Houston was 3-0. They were done.
Yeah.
They did not play the wild card weekend. Three games out resting.
Yeah.
Game scheduled for Wednesday, which means because of the rain out, they played on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And whoever won that was going to win the series and had to travel straight to Houston.
Yeah. And Houston's a, I watched all those, most of those games, and Houston's just got it all.
Yeah.
Even with Michael Brantley out. And it's unfortunate Michael Brantley's out again for another World Series attempt, but they're, you know, it's going to be Houston and the Philadelphia Phillies.
The Phillies.
Yeah. So I'm going to be rooting for the Phillies. I don't want the cheaters to win.
Yeah.
And, of course, Dusty Baker has turned that franchise into a more honest organization.
As far as we know, yeah.
As far as we know. I mean, they probably have a listening device. You know, the catchers now press a button and tells the pitcher what to pitch. They probably have some sort of eavesdropping machine.
Yeah, I would think it would be, in some ways, almost easier to eavesdrop now that you wouldn't even need.
I would think
that. Not in the garbage can lids.
Yeah, the garbage can lids, but no, they're a very, very good team. But the Guardians, from where they started, and I think Marla Rittenhauer had an article the other day about that. We had in our outfield Oscar Mercado, we had Straw, and we had Bradley Zimmer.
Yeah.
And Hugh Chang
at second base.
And Bobby Bradley Jr.
Yeah.
So we had five guys on that team that were mediocre at best. Oscar.
Well, the only reason they were there was because we had no options left on them.
No.
And we still don't. And the only one that's still with this team was Bobby Bradley because nobody picked him up. So he took the option and he's back in Columbus.
I thought he was designated for assignment out of the. I don't think he's with the organization.
Oh, I thought he was one designated for assignment means you're designated to go back to minor league, right?
He was cut from the 40-man roster.
Right.
He was cut from Columbus, too.
He was cut from Columbus, too.
He was batting like 180 in Columbus. Yeah.
I don't know what happened because his spring last year was so phenomenal. And then he didn't make the team again because whoever they had up here, they didn't have any options on him. And so he went down and he never recovered from that. So it's like, what's that Yogi Berra said, Casey Stengel said, 80% of this game is half mental, you know? And for him.
I think that was Yogi Berra.
It could have been. Yeah. But Casey Stengel did a few of those, too.
Yeah.
You know, like he said, I don't care what they say. We're not out of it yet. All we need to do is win 9 out of our last 8 games to get into playoffs. You know, so.
He was promoted by the organization as the second coming of our power hitting prowess, and he never ever.
I think when he didn't make the team, he just couldn't wrap his mind around it as well as he played in the spring, and he never recovered from that. Never.
As far as I know, he's out of baseball.
Because nobody picked him up.
Nobody picked him up.
I mean, Hugh Chang got picked up. Who else?
He did. I don't know who picked up.
Zimmer got picked up, but I think he's been dropped since.
Who's that?
Bradley Zimmer.
He was picked up by Toronto, and he's been designated for it. I think he's done. It's, whatever happened to that young man?
The sad thing is,
he was your
4A guy, Tim Davidson likes to call. He's a guy that can get you. He is way too good for AAA, and not good enough for majors.
But Bradley Zimmer, up until the time he hit the wall and injured his shoulder, was the leading prospect of the Cleveland organization, and then he hit his shoulder, and he never recovered. He was batting like 180 for Toronto when they designated him for assignment. I think he's also out of it. He may try to come back. Oscar Mercado, I think, is the one you may be thinking of. He was demoted to, he was designated for assignment. He was picked up by somebody for like a week.
I think it was Baltimore, I think.
Yeah, and then they designated for an assignment, and they put him on the 40-man roster. I think he's in Columbus now, Mercado. But it's going to be very hard to break that off-field that we have now. Stephen Kwan, what a breath of fresh
air. How can you take anything away from that?
He's
outside of a sophomore jinx, I mean, what amazing. I've never seen a rookie that patient now, during the World Series. Whether he only had two misses.
Yeah.
and like 14, 15 at bats, two misses. That doesn't mean that they were all good, you know, foul balls and they flew into outs and things like that. But in two playoff series, only 14 misses.
Yeah, it was an amazing performance by him, and he puts the ball in play. And you never
and
know.
He wears out the starter pitcher.
Oh, my. And, that's,
all the other teammates are, I think I read where when he's up to bat, everybody's watching him because he's so busy. He gets so many pitches that they're seeing all the different pitchers that this guy has that helps contact hitters.
Yeah. So he was an amazing find, and he had a little bit, he had a great April, a little off on in May, but then he took off. And if it wasn't for this other guy from Seattle, he would be Rookie of the Year.
Yes,
And almost 300, had six home runs.
Which is not expected. I mean,
but he does what a leadoff, he sets the table.
He sets the table.
And so what a breath of fresh air he was, along with Oscar Gonzalez.
Yes.
The SpongeBob guy.
Yeah.
And a power hitter that'll take off in the years coming. And he went away. He produced winning production in two of the playoff games.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a rookie. And he's going to be a very exciting player. Now, you got center field, you got Miles Straw, but he doesn't do hitting wise. He's a center fielder.
And he's a team leader.
And
actually, he did better and helped Kwan even more when he became ninth batter.
Yes.
Because, again, it helped Kwan out.
Yeah. Well, it's like having two leadoff players.
Yes.
You got your ninth guy who's could be your leadoff, and then you got your true leadoff guy. And so the outfield is set, and you got a couple other ones that could fill in from time to time, with Will Benson and Tyler Freeman and those guys. And we got a whole bunch of talent down in Columbus too. I don't know how they're ever going to break into that lineup, but injuries do happen.
Yes.
And these guys are set for years to come because they're just starting out.
Because they're so young. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. The youngest team in baseball and younger than most AAA teams.
Well, and yet, as strong as we finished, you had Ramirez with the thumb issue.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And I didn't know about the second baseman.
No. He's going to be treated, though, I think.
Yeah, his will not require surgery. But
Andre Jimenez, yeah.
But Ramirez will, and he refused to get the surgery.
Yeah.
Because he was convinced by the doctors that delaying it won't hurt you any.
Yeah. And he says
during that time in September when we won 24 out of 27 games, would we have done that without Ramirez?
No. And I guess they had a frank conversation with Jose about his options. And he says, I'm staying.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I guess he went from the MRI back to the stadium and went straight to Tito with his interpreter saying, I'm playing tomorrow.
I'm playing tomorrow. He's not fluent in English. I think he knows enough to get by and everything within the team structure. But if you were a non-Spanish speaking player and you're goofing off, I think he would find the words to tell you, knock it off. So he's a team leader, and we got him for a long time at third base.
Thanks to his extension.
Yeah, and then you have
the generous extension that he gave us.
Yes. Yeah,
because he could have made probably twice that going to the Yankees.
Considerably more.
Considerably more, at the very least.
I think he probably let about $20 million off I think he could have made another $5 million a year somewhere else. But he didn't want to go. He loves his team. His best buddy is Ahmad Rosario, a short, right next to him.
Yeah, right next to him.
And he had a great year. You had Andrés Giménez, the second. He was an all-star, for goodness sakes.
Yep.
And then you have Naylor, who...
who was out last year because of a collision.
Oh, yeah.
And never complained.
Never complained.
And came back to play first base and DH.
And the offseason will certainly help that ankle heal even more.
Yeah.
And that's why he didn't play first, because aggravated during the playoffs.
Right.
They had the young Andrés is his name. I forgot it. And he's
Ursella.
Well, he really got the Yankees fans upset with Rock the Baby.
Naylor?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was. You know what? He reveled in that.
Sure.
He said, "This is great. I love the heart that these fans have."
Yeah.
And how they reveled. It didn't bother him a bit.
No.
Didn't shake him up. So all they do, we'll get them all upset. We'll do this thing. And he thought it was fabulous because it's something he started and they picked up on it.
Yeah. And who knows? He could probably turn that into some cash.
Probably could.
So he has this Rock the Baby motion after he hit the home run. I think it was game 4.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't win. So the next day, and of course, the guy at the end of the game rocked the baby. So, hey, he's a hockey player, for goodness sake. Players.
He's from Canada. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he was from Mississauga, right outside of
Gesundheit,
Toronto. So is Cal Quattrall from.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So we got two Canadians on our team.
Well, he looks like a hockey player.
Oh, yeah. So he's set for first / DH.
Right.
Catcher is an interesting thing. You got his
brother.
Bo Naylor.└
In the wings.
In the wings, I think.
He'll probably start off next year, unless they trade one.
No.
He'll probably start off back in Columbus again next year.
I think he starts.
You think he starts?
Yeah, I think they brought him up for the playoffs.
Well, they brought him up for the playoffs because of the contact hitting and because our catchers aren't really solid hitters, it gave Tito more options of being able to pull for a DH. For a pinch hitter. That was the reason for bringing him up yet.
That's true, but I think he's the heir apparent.
I think he will be.
Because
I would be surprised. I'll just put it this way. I would be surprised if because he won't be number one. He'd be number two. So he'd be better off in Columbus playing just about every day.
I think he's going to be the everyday catcher.
The starter?
Yep. I think so.
I think eventually.
Well,
it
depends on his spring. If he has a great spring, I think he makes the team either as a number one or two catcher. I really do. Now, the only drawback is, like you said, that they may want him playing every day, so that he may start out. But I'm having a gut feeling, all right?
A gut feeling.
And a gut feeling is...
You know, Alka-Seltzer can take care of that, right?
I do. There's medication for this gut feeling. You know. My mother had gut feelings. I got a gut feeling, or I got worried.
Yeah.
She normally was right.
Yeah.
Woo! And... Of course, if a gut feeling didn't turn out, you don't remind her.
Right, absolutely.
Anyway.
That's like reminding your wife of something.
No. So, like, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
She, once in a while, I do forget to turn the lights off. She said, "You just forgot to turn the light off in the basement." Oh, okay, I'm sorry. But if she does it... I said, okay, look it, you left half the lights up upstairs. So what? So there's other things too, but I won't get into it. But anyway, gut feeling. I have a gut feeling.
Gut feeling.
That.
We shall see.
Yeah.
Well, we shall see.
It's a fun team. I'm ready for baseball to start already. I mean.
I think a lot of people are, especially when you look at what we have.
Oh, the pitching is
between
good.
Now and then.
I think the only. I don't know what moves they're going to make. I don't think it'd be very many moves, if any.
They don't make many moves. The only time they make moves is when they're about out of options, mm-hmm. and they know they can't keep the guy. They've made overtures towards the agent, and the agent says, "Nah, it's not going to do it."
Yeah.
That's when they seem to. But I don't know if anybody's in their last year contract here.
Well, yes, there's one, Austin Hedges.
Okay.
He's the catcher. That's the guy that you forgot his name last.
Yeah, I did.
And I was hoping, I was giving you every chance in the world
you
to recall.
You did.
And you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. And I don't know about Maley, the other backup, the other catcher. I think Austin Hedges is probably the most vulnerable
but he's
player.
The main starter.
He is.
Yeah.
Like I said, you got Maley, who's a very good catcher, who's not up for negotiations.
Let's put it this way. One of the reasons we have such good catchers
is
Sandy Alomar.
Junior,
who coaches the catchers while
that's
they're
right.
here.
That's right. And is instrumental on those. One of the reasons why we with small ball, right?
Yeah.
You hustle down first base. Any opportunity you can to steal, you steal.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who makes that all work is Sandy Alomar
right.
Jr. because he knows the catchers. He knows every catcher in the major leagues
right.
and their tendencies.
Right.
You're not going to get a lot of steals when Sandy knows this guy behind the plate is really good.
Yeah.
Now, he may, in certain situations,
he would also know pitchers.
If the
yeah.
pitchers are slow to deliver.
Right.
He knows that, too.
Right.
So he's invaluable. I mean, people don't understand. Oh, first base.
Why is he on first base?
Well, they're very important.
Under the small ball that we play,
that's right.
he may be responsible for maybe a quarter of the runs we get
yeah.
even because of his coaching
that.
There at first base.
Yeah. It's not like your first base coach is slow pitch softball.
No. It's not, here's your beer, you know?
Yeah. Here's your beer. If you make it to first base. So it's just, they got all the
ingredients, yeah.
Yeah, and you got Terry Francona who says, I'm going to be back.
Yeah.
And that was a little concern because of his health problems.
Yeah, but I heard Matt Underwood saying, yeah, he's not going to be here forever, and he knows he's not going to be here forever, but he's not ready to leave yet.
No.
And so I felt a little better. After I heard Matt say that, after what we heard Terry say.
Yeah.
So.
And it was in the paper confirming.
He's, yeah.
I guess his contract was up and he said the negotiations took 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go year to year from now on. And if we, and of course, Chris Antonetti, the president of the team says,
he's here as long as you want to be here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Terry says, as long as it works out for both of us, I'm staying. And let's hope.
And let's face it, he has had more than his share of health issues
oh.
in the last several
yeah,
years.
Yeah.
And yet he keeps coming back. And you just wonder about the decisions he makes from time to time. But he's only had 1 year that he hasn't had a .500 record. And that was because most of the year
he wasn't even there. Yeah.
And you know?
If he had not come back, that would not have
come. That would not have been on his record, right.
So they were one game under .500 last year. And they won 92 games this year. 92.
Yeah.
Nobody was predicting that.
Nobody.
No. And you got a good cadre of starting pitchers. You got a good group of relievers.
Yep.
I mean, the relieving corps was the best in baseball.
It was the best in baseball in
the
second half. Yeah.
So I'm ready to go. We got, what, 5 months? we have the Cavs.
We have the Cavs. Okay.
Another team that's kind of... They're kind
on
of
the
a,
cusp, yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of a team that reminds me of the Guardians. Team-oriented.
Young.
Young, enthusiastic, and really a hands-off owner now. I mean, Gilbert was more hands-on.
Since he's had a stroke.
Yeah, he basically.
I think he kind of basically sent it over to his son, Nick.
And Kobe Altman, too.
And Kobe, right.
And I really like Bickerstaff. I think he's ideal for this
for these
team.
Young team
yeah.
players. Yeah,
his expression sometimes.
I think the last thing that the owner did that really kind of interfered with the team, he brought in Beilein.
Yeah,
because he was from the Detroit area and wanted
Michigan.
Him to be here, Michigan, and wanted him to be here, and
it was a disaster.
It was.
But he made a little bit of coin doing that.
Well, he did.
And he recognized he was out of
it. And he's the one that left. You know, he decided.
Yeah,
he's
I'm not.
Yeah. And I'm sure it wasn't, you know, you need to leave or we're going to fire you. I'm sure that wasn't the option. He would have probably been there for most of the year.
I think he would have been given a promotion.
A promotion. That's right. That's what they do.
When you are liked by the owner and they don't want to fire you, you're going to be given a front office
promotion.
But getting back to the Guardians, yes. I just think the front office, I'm hoping beyond hope that the new minority owner will give some cash to keep some of these guys. You got Shane Bieber, who really needs to have an extension. I mean, what are you waiting for? I know that. I think they were waiting for him to see how he would have done with his shoulder
and how he recovered from this injury. Absolutely,
and he's done marvelous. So anyway, I think that's the case, and you're really going to have to pony up some cash down the road here.
Yeah.
You really are. I mean, I think he's arbitration eligible. He's going to make $9-10 million. Arbitrator is going to look at his record and says, "This is what this guy's going to have. He's going to make. He's going to have a big increase."
So, which is why there won't be that many off season moves.
They got to save their money for preserving what they have.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Let's hope they do that.
Okay, that leaves us with
what?
The Browns and the Ravens.
Oh. You know, I listened to most of that game on radio.
What was Donovan back?
Yeah.
Because the week before he was out and they had
Jeff Phelps.
Jeff Phelps.
Yeah. And how'd he do?
I was missing very much. His plays were all called correctly, but where's the excitement you get out of Jim Donovan? Well, you didn't have that. Now, Jeff Phelps, I love him, and I love him on The Fan.
Yeah.
And I like his observations. But when you're calling a game, you got to be bringing in some excitement with it. And that's the only problem I had with him. I like him. And we almost had him here. When Bob was on, he was working to get Jeff Phelps in on our show.
Yeah, that's right.
And before Bob passed. So I like him a lot. But there's no way you can sit in Jim Donovan's chair. And even throughout the game, I heard him a couple times say, "Yeah, we all hope that Jim will be feeling better." He had a throat issue.
Yeah, I think it was a last-minute thing, and they had to find somebody, and Jeff filled in. He did an adequate job.
He did an adequate job. He was insightful. He did all that, but it does not have the enthusiasm that Jim Donovan brings.
Jim Donovan can make a 50-0 game.
That we're behind 50-0,
exciting.
He can make it seem like we got a chance until the last 2 minutes.
And I love his quips. And he's truly a homer. I mean, a true homer. But that's okay with Jimmy. We all like Jimmy.
Right.
And I don't know about this. The guy that Phil is taking, Doug, he's very knowledgeable.
He is. Very much so.
He just goes on and on too much, I think.
Yeah.
And Doug gave a quick comment. And
a cracked a joke.
He's
told a story, cracked a joke.
And the sideline before, he's a former player, but I don't know about him. So it's new.
Andre Knott's not down there anymore?
Huh?
Andre Knott's not down there anymore?
Andre Knott hasn't been down there for a long
time. Wow.
No.
I usually catch it on television. Yeah.
Jason Zagura is the guy who's taken Doug's place, and this former NFL player is now doing the sidelines. And it was like, for instance, I was listening to the game, and there was they spotted for the first down, and the guy said, "Oh, for sure, we got it. Well, they didn't get it. I mean, it was, from my point of view, I think they got it. Oh, no, they didn't get it. And of course, they went for it, and they got it. But I don't know. It's just they don't have the it factor.
Four games in a row.
They don't have the it factor. You know, and Baltimore certainly didn't look like they wanted to give them the game. That fumble in the fourth quarter gave them an opportunity to go down the field and do something, and they didn't.
Baltimore's defense held them.
They don't have the quarterback is an adequate fill in for
a backup.
He's the backup.
He's being a backup until
and he hasn't done a bad job.
He has done a little better than his averages, even though, you know, he coughed up the ball twice. But that was, I told you before he started, he doesn't throw a bunch of interceptions, but he does cough up the ball a lot. Now, we coughed it up twice. We got it once. They got it once.
What, did he eat it?
He coughed it. Yeah.
Oh, my
God. He fumbles it.
Like
he fumbles it.
It's like a cat?
He fumbles it. Yeah. Hacks it up. Yeah. But, but that is his history. He's had, even though, like, you know, when we were talking about him and our good friend who, I don't think he's even playing anymore down in Panther Town.
Oh, he's Baker.
He's Baker. I think he's hurt.
He hurt, but they beat somebody good. Tampa.
Was Baker?
No, Baker's still injured.
Yeah. Him. And they fired the coach and the defensive coordinator because he was a friend of the coach. I'm not sure about the offensive coordinator. I don't know whether he made it, but
they had the third string quarterback down there beat Buccaneers. I'm not sure if I'll look at that.
Yeah.
One
thing we do in comparing, Baker Mayfield had more interceptions, but Jacoby had more fumbles.
Yeah.
Now, do they recover some of their fumbles? Yeah. But, and if you really are watching the game, almost half of his catches are they're not to the players. They're like highlight catches. They were diving down or jumping up to catch these balls.
Well, he had a couple of good passes.
I'm not saying that they're all, but I'm saying at least a quarter of these completions he's getting are acrobatic catches.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Stefanski is playing to his skills. I mean, it perplexes me. You know, I'm not a Browns fan, but it perplexes me why they don't use the run more. They started the run
because when they started in the fourth quarter. Guess who took over the game?
Chubb. And the argument is, you know what? They're playing the runs, so we have to do something else. It doesn't matter with Chubb. He could take three guys with him. He's the guy I admire most on that team.
Yes.
He's just a hard-nosed, level-headed young man who plays the game of football hard. You don't see him when he scores touchdowns doing goofy things.
No.
And he just, give me the ball and let me run. And I don't think they utilize him.
No.
The way they should.
And we had the opportunity to catch it, to tie it with 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
However, you know, for one thing, it was a 60-yarder. The second thing is, usually they have the ball out 8 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So that away from the
line of scrimmage. Yes.
So you're a little further back.
Yeah.
Well, they moved it up to 6 yards.
Oh, is that what happened?
That's part of what happened.
I didn't know that.
Because part of the thing is when it's that far, and it's what Phil Dawson has said, when it's that far, you can't kick it up. You have to line drive it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that any kicker can get that far, but you got to line drive it up.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had to line drive it, and because he was 2 yards closer to the line of scrimmage than almost always, because he said, well, let's have him try a 60 instead of a 62. He would have been probably better off at the 62 because he might have been past that player that was up there. But again, that's a coaching decision.
Well, what happened too was they had that false start, which was unusual false start.
I'm glad I had the TV on for that
because
it wasn't until the ex-official came on and explained why.
Yep.
That was the false start.
Because they can get in the neutral zone, but you still can't move.
He was in the neutral zone, but apparently he didn't cross the neutral zone. But he was in the neutral zone.
Yeah, the players were in the neutral zone. If they had snapped the ball, they would have had a 5-yard penalty against him. But he had one of the linemen move.
And he was on the other end of the line.
Yeah, so he was so far away from where the neutral zone infraction was that they had to call a false start.
Yeah.
And what an explanation that former
I didn't understand it, and the play-by-play guys didn't understand it. But once they said it, I'm glad we had you here. Yeah, that's why you pay the guy.
Yeah,
you know.
So he was more than 1.5 positions away from where it happened. So therefore, he moved, and that's why he got called for the false start, which took another 5 yards.
Right, but then they had the offensive pass interference.
Yeah, Amari
play before that.
Yeah, a guy clearly. Pushed off.
He
on
did.
Him.
I mean, sure, he did.
And the guy said he didn't even have to do that.
No. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do that.
He didn't have to do that. So they made mistakes, and good teams don't make mistakes at the end of the
game. Not like that.
No.
I have here, in my grubby little paws.
They are grubby, too.
They are. I'll wash them tomorrow.
You would make Krusty Pete.
Yeah, possibly. These are how social media reacted to Sunday's loss of Baltimore. Now, these are not just individuals. These are media outlets. This is how the media reacted. I definitely feel like Lamar beat us. This one feels like we beat our, or I don't feel like Lamar beat us. This one feels like we beat ourselves. Hashtags Browns. Jonathan Bertland of 92.3 The Fan tweeted. Hashtag Browns have now lost four games this year by a total of 9 points. They're not a good team. Hashtag NFL. Officials have lost some credibility. ESPN's Dwayne Bray tweeted. Being Browns fan is the most powerful thing I do in life. There's no comparison for it. They find ways to lose every week. They have zero leadership. They sold their soul for a quarterback who wouldn't have a job in any other field. And I'm even talking probably professional field, because look at what happened to our friend out there at the Dodgers.
Trevor Bauer.
Yeah. I'm loyal, but man, this is painful, really painful. Fox College basketball announcer John Fanta tweeted.
Huh.
Kevin Stefanski joins the not-so-exclusive club of hashtag Browns coaches losing four straight games. 21 such streaks since 1999. Daryl Reuter of 92.3 The Fan tweeted. You can argue the flags in the Browns game, but you can't ask why they're throwing deep on a third and two when they could be running out the clock. Signed by Andrew Scalanio of NFL Network, he tweeted, Ravens beat the Browns despite Lamar Jackson having the worst CPOE in the early window, minus 10%, and Jacoby Brissett having the best, plus 14%. ESPN analytics writer Seth Walder tweeted, now, we forgot the COPE was caught passes on attempt,
or something like that. I don't know. But whatever it is, Lamar Jackson wasn't doing it very well. He didn't have. It wasn't a great game for him.
It wasn't. He's had a rough season, period. And this is his contract season.
Yeah.
He was offered a big contract. He turned it down. And he'll get at least what he got before. But I don't even root for the Browns to win anymore. I root for them not to lose because the discourse is so clueless and awful after the losses. Browns fan Scopes tweeted. English doesn't have a word to describe what the Browns do to their fans every week. ESPN Cleveland's Aaron Goldhammer tweeted. LOL, Browns. NFL Network's Rachel Bonetto tweeted. And the Browns are bad enough to lose on their own. We don't need help from the refs, too. And that was by Jordan Zerum of the Sporting News. He tweeted that.
Well, I don't know if the refs.
If you're a homer, all those fans were against you. Win by refs. And we've had some games where you and I have said, that was win by official. We have had that.
Oh, yeah. And the first.
But I don't think this one
the
was.
The first game of the year with the Panthers.
Yeah.
The refs gave the game to the Browns.
They did.
I mean, that roughing the passer was ridiculous.
Yes. And there was another interference call after that or something.
Yeah. So, as we can now say it once again, we're one field goal away from being 1-5.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're 2-4 now? We're 2-5.
2-5, yeah.
So we could be 1-6.
We could be 1-6.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's only 9 points in four games difference. The one win, the New England game, was not even close. But the other ones, you had up all four. That's 9 points.
Yeah.
And that's how close it was that could have gone the other way. And from what I understand, there was a lot of yelling going on in the visitors' locker room.
That's what I heard, too.
Locker room. Now, somebody said, well, that's a good thing. He says, no, I don't think that is very conducive to team building.
I was listening team to building. They had a guy from the Elyria
Chronicle
on before I got here saying, we need leadership. We need leadership. If I'm a coach and the player's saying I need leadership, that means usually there's going to be a change in coaching. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they have.
And you can't put this one all on the defense.
No, Stefanski's play calling is in question.
It has been all season.
Yeah. And
last season.
Joe Woods did adequately enough. They
this
really,
game, yeah.
Well, look at, I mean, just looking at the stats, the Cleveland had 223 yards in passing.
Yeah.
Compared to 94 for Baltimore. So clearly.
Okay, but what about running yards?
Running yards. Cleveland had 113. And Baltimore had a 160. They can't stop the run.
They can't stop the run. So, and you know, like you, your argument was before, well, they're going to plan for us, so we're not going to run. Where these other teams saying, you have the worst run defense in the league. I'm running the ball until you can stop me.
Yeah. And
59 of that was out of the quarterback.
First, you know, first,
and 91 of our yards was Nick Chubb.
Well, in the fourth quarter, Baltimore fumbled.
Yeah.
Clearly, they're on the way to winning the game.
Right.
And that fumble was a huge turnover. They didn't capitalize on it. They just did not they don't capitalize on things to make them a winning football team. And now you've got Ngoku and people's there's three tight ends, and two of them are injured. I don't know if they'll be back next week. They play Monday night
against Cincinnati.
At home, though.
And Cincinnati really beat up yesterday.
Yeah, and I they tore the Falcons apart. Yes.
Yeah.
And they beat us.
Falcons beat us. Yeah.
The Commanders even beat somebody pretty good
Yeah, they did.
Green Bay.
They beat Green Bay.
And we play them. Commanders were like the lowest team in the NFL according to this.
They were.
So.
We've got the 28th, and that was before this week, this game. We had the 28th ranked defense. Now, yeah. We may not have dropped any from our thing, but we didn't really gain anything either.
No. And the schedule doesn't get any better.
No.
Because
Cincinnati, we won't lose the bye week, thank goodness. But it'd be half a miracle if we beat Cincinnati the way Cincinnati started off rough, but they've woken up.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have a snowball's chance, and Cincinnati could have a lot of fun next Monday night.
I think it's going to be a very competitive game. I really do.
Okay.
But I still favor the Bengals winning. I think so. And then they got the bye week, and then they have to go to the Dolphins, who are playing very good
ball.
They just beat Pittsburgh.
And they're on their backup quarterback.
Yeah? No, I think Tua is back.
Did Tua come back?
Yeah.
Because he had those three concussions. I'm surprised he's out of concussion protocol.
I am too. So, and then,
the one position got fired for letting him go back in. Oh yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. Well, and then you got the Bills. The Bills are just, I think, okay. They had a bye week, but
the week before, who did they beat?
I forgot who they beat. They beat
Kansas City.
Yeah. I mean, and we have to play them. We being the Cleveland. Against my team, the Bills, at their stadium.
Yeah, well.
So, I mean, it doesn't get any better. And then.
Until you go to Houston, but that's when Deshaun Watson comes back.
Yeah, but then after that, they got to play the Buccaneers. Now, the Buccaneers are below 500. They lost to Carolina.
Yeah.
So the league is all topsy-turvy this year, except for who's still undefeated? I think it's. Is it New York? I'll find out here in just one second. What's that mean?
The music's coming in.
Oh, our time's up?
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Well, we don't care. Anyway, there's only one undefeated team. I think it's either Philly or New York. I think it's Philadelphia.
Yeah, New York's lost one. So.
Yeah, so
but New York's doing great this year, too.
Yeah. So, is that Wally Cox?
That's Wally Cox back. Oh, yeah, man. We'll go out with Wally.
I really appreciate that. So.
Okay. What do we got?
What's red and bad for your teeth?
Red and bad for your teeth.
A brick.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, that.
I tell you, they're getting bad.
Al Hurt can attest to that. He was in a parade and somebody threw a brick and hit him in the trumpet and smashed his mouth in.
Well, I tell you, I'm getting to the bottom of the barrel on these puns.
Time to start digging out some new ones. There.
I've been doing these for years.
Yeah.
I guess I can repeat them. People probably don't remember.
I usually don't remember them, yeah.
Oh. Well, you just want to forget them. That's how bad they are.
Anyway, we'll be back next week before the Monday Night Football game takes place. And
maybe Yak Smith, I can get him here.
Maybe so, yeah. If not, Wally's always around the corner. We'll see everyone next week here on Sports Sidebar.
I no longer stay with you.
Stay with you.
I hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. And may the world go well with thee.
Oh, dig my grave both wide and deep, and deep. Put tombstones at my head and feet, and on my breast carve a turtle dove to signify I died of love.